music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Strange Podcast. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'll be your host for this very special podcast to commemorate a very special occasion. When We All Fall Down is in stores and online everywhere, and today we'll be talking to the member himself, Prozac, about the album and much more. If you haven't already got it, make sure you get that at your local Best Buy or go online to iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and get it online. Produced entirely by Seven, We All Fall Down, the epic, brilliant album that has been called his best work yet already. So make sure you rush to go get that. Callers out there, call 347-994-3066 and press 1 so we can screen your call and get you on the line with Prozac. But without further ado, Prozac, man, how you doing?
I'm doing extremely good. How you doing, bro?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. We're just chilling here. Are you guys still in Vegas?
Oh, man. No, but I'm a little hungover and I'm a little sore. I ended up getting 2 tattoos last night, and I'm in San Diego, California.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, no one leaves Vegas without some sort of physical reminder of it, I'm sure. So there you go, man.
Every time. It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, I'm glad you made it out alive. And, so, yeah, man, good to have you on the air today. Let's talk about this album, man, the reason that we're here, We All Fall Down. First of all, what has the response been like on your end?
All right, well, I've, you know, meeting and shaking hands with a few hundred people a day out here and hearing a lot of opinions. And, you know, when I make a record, I don't ever, you know, anticipate or feel like I know what people are going to think or feel. So I guess the one thing I could say that that really blew me away is everybody's like, you know, I didn't know how you were going to top Paranormal, you know, but you definitely did. And I would have to say that's the most common thing that I'm hearing out there, which I don't know if there's a better compliment, you know, than someone saying, you know, your last record was great and you topped it. So, like, I'm really humbled by that.
That's awesome. I mean, and the last shit you want to hear, granted, there's certain times where the elements all come together and a classic is made, but it would probably really suck to be like, man, I liked your old shit, or, you know what I mean? I mean, and that happens sometimes, but that's a great compliment to get.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, that's a great thing. I guess it would definitely suck for someone to be like, yeah, your new album's, it's all right. Your last record was great, though. Let's talk about that. Like, oh, shit.
So let's talk about Paranormal. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So have there been any particular songs that have emerged as fan favorites that you've been able to tell?
Yeah, definitely. I would say the track Time off the record, Just Like Nothing, Before We Say Goodbye, Audio Barricade, Blood Paved Road, and Darker Shade of Gray is what I've been hearing the most, and pretty much in that order.
Wow. Well, that's awesome that you got a variety of stuff on there. And I remember we were talking before, and you said that there's probably a lot of songs that are going to be sleepers that kind of will probably reemerge once people get sick of listening to their immediate favorites.
Yeah, I think so, man. We worked really hard on the record. We, you know, me, Seven Summers, and from an engineering standpoint, Robert Rebeck, and we put a lot into it, the structures of it and the layers of it and everything. And I think that each song has had a maximum effort put into it. And I think they're all really good songs, but different. It's different kind of material that'll hit you at different times, you know, in different mind frames. And that's why I think that it's got the album has longevity because of that. You know, it's not a one trick pony by any means.
Definitely. Now, you know, there's been a lot of albums to come out of the label this year that span across all sorts of sounds and different subgenres of hip-hop. What do you think you're bringing to the table as far as Strange Music's concerned with this album?
I would have to say I'm bringing, you know, there's a consciousness to the album. There's a really melodic tone to the record. I don't know, man. For the most part, I think what I do is poetry for real. You know, when I write a track, I'm not necessarily consumed or concerned with the speed of the flow or different tricks, throughout the verse or different, harmonies and so on. Now, don't get me wrong, I love that shit, and I understand why a lot of people love that shit. However, I'm just trying to have my own lane over here at Strange and be different. So I just kind of do what I do, it's when you rap at a slower pace, if you will, and I don't want to say slower, but I mean, I guess when you're when a lot of these people are listening to someone like Tech N9ne, well, for that matter, I think anybody sounds like they rap slow. Tech's a bad motherfucker who raps ridiculously fast. But basically what I'm trying to say, bro, is like, your lyrics are really out front when you're rapping in a poetry, almost spoken word-ish sort of way. So your words and your lyrics really have to carry you over. And I put a huge emphasis on that, lyrics, you know what I mean? And so, I don't know. I think there's a lot in these tracks, man, as far as, not only just social commentary or, I don't like to really use the word political necessarily, but, there's a lot in it, bro. There's a few different omens in there, if you will. There's a lot of vibes in there. There's a lot of emotion in this record. And I think it's a record that a lot of people can identify with, which to me is key because that's why I do what I do. It's there's a reason why I do the music videos that I do, such as like Until Then or Million Miles Away or Fading Away or Audio Barricade or Turn Back. I could really go on with that because I'm trying to make music that can help people. And I think the best way to help people through music is giving something for them to identify with. And letting them know that, they're not the only people going through this stuff. Whether it be depression, whether it be hard times or whatnot, because I know I sure do, you know what I'm saying? So this is just my personal choice. I'm not trying to put myself out there as an idol or an icon or, a celebrity. I'm actually trying to put myself out there as exactly the opposite, that I'm just somebody else like you who has found a really potent way in a poetic way to put these emotions into words. And I don't know, I do this for the people, bro. That's at the same time why I'm out in the crowd from doors open till doors close nightly, every tour, over 1,000 shows, for the people.
It's cool you say that, and I think it's on point because from listening to a lot of your records, especially on this album, I feel like I'm in a room with you and you're telling me something and we're talking. You're talking to me. Style you have always had, something that you kind of developed over time throughout your career.
Well, it's definitely something I feel like I developed over time, man. And I think the reason for that is because, you just get to a point where you've done a lot of different things, and then I guess this goes out to any artist out there. I don't really care what kind of art you do, but you start off doing what you start off doing, and then you kind of go through a bunch of transitions, and at the end of the day, you start doing what gratifies you and what fulfills you as a person and what you want to put out there. And I think that's the point when you come into your own, and that's when you're, truly an artist.
Definitely. Yeah, and you're right. It goes through. I've seen film directors do that. A lot of different musicians do that. It goes forward for sure. Now, what did you consciously set out to do with this album? What was kind of that internal goal or feeling that you wanted to achieve through this album that you knew before you even started?
Well, so this is going to sound pretty whacked out in a lot of ways, but a few years ago, I'm not going to necessarily go too deep into it, but let's just say I had a moment of clarity or an epiphany, if you will, and it really shook me to my core and sent me into a really dark state of mind, just thinking about, the realities of what's happening in the world, where we're at, where we're headed, and I felt like there was, I felt like an obligation morally or just inside that I needed to get out certain things, that I needed to speak about, and I felt that I wanted to use the platform that I have with my audience to spread a certain message and really get that out of my system. And I really, and when I say obligated, I truly felt that, you know, it was a calling that I needed to take care of, and I did. I've been doing it with, you know, really the last few records, but We All Fall Down was going to be, you know, the final exorcism of that out of me, and getting it off of my my chest and just kind of, you know, cleansing the palate, if you will, so I can start over again after this and move on into the next direction. So this record was all of those emotions, all of those thoughts, all of those feelings, and, you know, that's, I know that's kind of a strange thing to say, but that's just really the case, you know what I mean?
Well, that's, you know, and a lot of that is just your feelings as an artist. Do you feel like making the album was therapeutic, and do you feel that there's a weight off of your shoulder or off of your chest now that it's finally all on wax and out there for the people?
I can't even describe to you the difference, bro. I really can't. Like, once I was signing the pre-orders and I knew the album was pressed and I knew that everything was locked and loaded for the release and it was all underway. It was launched at that point. You know, it was like a huge weight was lifted off because this stuff really has plagued me the last few years. And I think anyone that listens to my material or has watched my videos, I'm sure you can sense that. You know, I think all artists are sensitive people to a degree. And I think when I think they're passionate about something, I think it weighs heavy on them, whether that's, you know, a good thing or a bad thing or whatever it may be. And so I just really, you know, felt like I needed to get this stuff out there. You know, you're just watching the news every day, watching all these documentaries, watching all, you know, reading all these stories, and you're just kind of realizing that we're in this world where everything is just racing, you know what I mean? Technology and destruction and pollution, and it's just burning up everything that we have, and people just want more and more, and patience is no longer existence, and you know what I'm saying? Like, we're walking around with, you know, smartphones, and we all get irritated when we have to wait 6 seconds because Facebook didn't load up fast enough. I mean, it's fucking crazy, bro. Like, you know, go back 20 years, you know, could we even live? You know what I mean? If we had to go back 20 years from where we're at right now, it's like we'd lose our fucking mind. You know, picture your daily life. Let's say you lose your phone or your phone dies and you don't have a charger for a few hours. It weighs heavy on you, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm guilty of it too, but when you think about it, that's a ridiculous thing, you know, that we're so hooked on all these, you know, technologies and all these things that are almost kind of stopping us from just being, you know, real humans and thinking about real problems and our own selves. It's just like we're, and it almost seems like it's a crafty design by the powers that be. But that's a conversation that we could go into forever. So don't go there with me, dog, because you'll just be like, all right, we got to let you go, Prozac. It's been 6 hours and no one's left listening. So, but you feel what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. And I think, you know, if you haven't already, you might as well take advantage of the fact that Recognize is on this tour with you, because he has a few songs that touch on that on his album. And I think you guys could probably go back and forth for quite some time. So keep that in mind. Another thing about this album, I think, well, let me ask you in a way like this. Did the purpose that you put into this album and the things that you needed to say, did that lead to you not having any big guest features on the album?
You know, as far as the feature thing is concerned, I guess the reason why I did that is... you know, this is truly a concept record. You know, every beat on the song was exclusively produced and talked about and discussed, you know, ahead of time, you know, and it was all, you know, exclusively produced by Seven. And each and every song was, you know, a nice conversation, bro. Like, okay, you know, like, so what's this track about? What are you feeling? You know, what kind of tempo are you hearing? What kind of sound? And we really collaborated on all of these. And then, of course, Seven just, you know, surprised you you know, surprised, you know, me even more, just bringing it to life 10 times better than I could even, you know, imagine it to be, because he's just that kind of producer. But, you know, all the tracks were produced that way. And, you know, it was purely and truly a concept record. And with that in mind, it's like, you know, I felt that these were messages and lyrics that I needed to write and that I needed to get out there. And at the same time, man, I think that a lot of records now are just really oversaturated with features to the point where, and this has been going on for years in the rap game, you know, well, pretty much only the rap game does this exist. And it's nothing to see 50% of a track listing have a feature. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I listen to a lot of rock and a lot of metal, and you just don't see that. You know, it's, you almost never, less than 1% when you ever see a band feature another artist. And I guess I kind of like that because, you know, if I buy somebody's record, I'm buying it to hear them. You know, at the same time, once in a while, an awesome feature is great. You know, I've done it many times, and I do love it, you know, when it's done correctly. But I just figured this record in particular wasn't that record.
Yeah, I think it's, and I think a lot of people would agree that it's very commendable. And like I said, like you said, that's not to diss on anyone who does have features or to say that it's.
Oh,
it's
bad. I've done my fair share of features, that's for sure, and I will again.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I will say it's very refreshing to not see that sticker on the front that says featuring this, that, you know? So,
yeah, or
you know,
the back of the CD with parentheses and, you know, all that extra writing other than the track titles.
Right. If you think about it,
which almost,
you know,
distracts you from the track titles and the meaning of the song.
Yeah, no, instead of the song, you're like, no, it's the one with so-and-so on it, you know? And, yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Well, you know, yeah, hats off to you for that. And speaking of that, your partner in crime, for the most part, I guess you had two of them, and let's talk about the first one, would be Seven. Could you imagine this album coming out the way it did, doing this with any other producer?
I can't imagine it because it is impossible. It really isn't. Like, you know, it's funny because, like, sometimes I feel like people that, you know, for my core following and the people that really listen to everything I put out there, they got to be like, man, does he really think Seven is that great? Or is it just his friend or what? But it's like, dude, this guy, you know, like 6-7 years ago, I was saying to myself, this guy is so incredible, it's ridiculous. You know, this guy's got to be at his peak. You know what I'm saying? 5 years later, he's 10 times better. He's only growing in every direction to the point where I don't even understand it, bro. And I don't even want to talk to him about it because I don't want to jinx anything. I just don't understand it, bro. It's almost kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you could wake up one day and you could fly, would you really want to look down and tell yourself, hey, how am I flying right now? You know what I'm saying? And crash to the bottom, you know what I'm saying? I know that sounds like a really weird analogy, but it's like, how does this dude do it? I don't understand. And he's cranking out how many beats a year, how many records, how many different type of artists is he working with? I truly don't understand it, but I don't even want to look a gift horse in the mouth, bro. Just like, you know what I mean? I'm just going to keep rolling, you know what I'm saying, with it, because dude's the best I've ever come across.
That's awesome. Yeah, if it ain't broke, just don't even fuck with it, totally.
Oh, man, it's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, he's grown so much, bro, that I don't even know how to explain it.
That's awesome. Well, and another key contributor to this that I think, you know, might have slipped under a lot of people's radar is Rob Rebeck, who not only mixed the record, but also contributed some vocals and some instrument parts. Tell me about the decision to employ Rob Rebeck to be such a critical part of this record.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Like, I love Rob Rebeck, period. He's an amazing person, genuine soul, very talented artist, and I love working with the guy. And so I requested, and you know, when I was starting the project with Strange, if I could record with Rob. And you know, Seven was completely behind it and thought that Rob would be the best choice for this record. And I was extremely happy that it was that simple. And, you know, sure enough, we start recording the record, and we're not into it very far when Rob's values immediately start to pop out. And, you know, like you said, with contributing vocals, and I would say, hey, man, like, you know, I really am kind of going for this sound on this, and I think you could do these vocal parts. And then he just absolutely nails it, much like I describe Seven's abilities, you know, same goes for Rob. And, you know, Rob is also a dude that's into, you know, a lot of intricate music and a lot of trippy stuff and experimental stuff, so, and a lot of rock as well. And so there's just things and abilities that he has as a producer, as well as his mixing abilities, that really lent itself to this record. And I do want to say one thing real quick, bro. My boy Matt Magnetic up in Detroit also was responsible for engineering some of the record. And, you know, there was even a few mixes on the record where, you know, he pretty much mixed a few of those songs, and as well as Paranormal and some other records. So he's really part of the ingredients, is, you know, it's Seven and Rob and Matt all together. So, and it, to me, it's the dream team, you know what I'm saying? I think it takes all three of them, and I love it.
That's badass. I did see that pretty much half of these tracks were recorded here in Kansas City and back where you were at in Michigan. So hats off to the dude. Great
yeah.
product altogether, though. Great product.
For sure.
For yourself, what are some of your favorite moments on this record?
As far as the actual songs or recording process?
Oh, that's a very good distinction. But, I mean, the actual songs.
The actual songs, I think the first song, the intro, We All Fall Down, is one of my favorite moments. You know, I think the words are really powerful. I think the music is basically, I was with the intro, the first track, I was basically trying to bring to life the album cover through audio. And I think I definitely, you know, did that. And just having all these, you know, 19, 20 different people coming in and chiming in on the don't believe the lies that you're told, and having it build and build and build. I think that was, you know, hearing that back mixed for the first time, you know, was really chilling. And I felt like I really, you know, got what I wanted to get out of that. Recording the song Time was definitely an experience for me because, you know, there's a lot of rappers and writers that write about themselves quite a bit and their material. I never really do, actually, hardly ever. I'm usually speaking in a different format, talking about everybody as a whole. And even though it wasn't, you know, super in-depth, I feel like I felt a little therapy out of recording that track Time, and about how I really feel and about my life and me as a person, which I don't typically do. That was a really memorable type experience when we did that. And, you know, another fact about that track is it's all live. Or should I say it's all real? It's bass guitar, it's guitar, it's real drums, all, you know, it's real music, you know, and that I think it really shows when you hear it. And Darker Shade of Gray was almost like a self-exorcism, you know, getting out, you know, some angst and stuff out of my own self and going into a different style than what I've done before. And I don't know, I could really go on for a while, but that, you know, this record is deep.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of that, my last question, well, I'll break it down like this. I was interviewing Seven about the record and, you know, and I was like, how would you compare this, you know, to Prozac's other records? Because he knows your music well, and you've done work with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's his best album by miles, you know. And after we were done, you know, and the recorder's off, I'm like, you know, you really think that, you know? And he's like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, dude, trust me, yes. And my question to you is, do you share the same feeling, and how do you think it stacks up against your other albums?
Well, you know, as an artist, it's hard to do that. It's hard to make that call. Let me give you a weird analogy here, since I'm the king of weird analogies. But a parent can't really choose one of their children over another, for real. one of their creations. I think Paranormal was one of my favorite pieces that I've ever been, you know, that I've ever done. But this particular record, I want to say, has the most of my blood, sweat, and tears in it, if you will. And I think, I guess that's all I can really say. You know, I definitely can't really choose, you know, which record is better or not. But, you know, when you give something your everything and you take it to new places that you haven't before, it's groundbreaking within your own career. You know what I'm saying? So I guess you could call it experimental, if you will. And I really had no idea what people were going to say, because needless to say, I didn't design this record strategically from any business standpoint. I didn't have certain features because I knew that I would get X amount of sales, or I didn't have certain features that I knew that if I shot a video, for instance, if I did a song with Tech and shot a video, you're almost guaranteed, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 hits, and you know, and I didn't create a song with this thought in mind to do. I'll finally submit something to radio. Like none of that was a factor. You know, there wasn't anything strategic as far as, you know, this will be a single for this reason, and I'll get Tech on a few songs to guarantee this, and you know, it was nothing like that. It was just, you know, simply I'm going to write what I feel all the way through. And whatever it ends up being, as long as I'm fulfilled, you know, myself with what I did, then that's what matters. And I hope that people like it. And I'm flattered and honored and relieved that people do.
Yeah, and I'd share the sentiments, you know, like you can definitely tell that this album was not rushed, that it wasn't cheapened by any factors. It's definitely solid from top to bottom, and that is always a great thing. So
yeah.
let's take it to the fans and see what they think. Callers out there, listeners, if you're listening out there, we're talking to Prozac, and we are talking about the album We All Fall Down. The number is 347-994-3066. If you're on the line, make sure you press 1 if you haven't already, so we can screen your call and let you ask your question or shout your comment out to Prozac. Our first caller is Dominic from Saginaw, actually. Let's get Dominic on the line. You're with Prozac.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Shippy? Do you mind if I call you that, or do you want me to call you Prozac?
Mr. 989, call me whatever you want, bro. You're from Saginaw. What's cracking?
Not much, man. I'm just a huge fan of yours. I'm going to see you in Detroit later next month, and I saw you at Chesterfield back in June, and I thought We All Fall Down the day it came out, and I want to compliment you on that. As you said, the intro really built up the album as a piece of music. Like, I had goosebumps. It really defined it as a piece of work. It was beautiful.
Thank you, bro. For real, very much.
And this is one question I've always wondered about you. You know, a lot of other rappers throw up where they're from, Tech and Calhoun, they throw up KCMO, and Young G's will throw up East Atlanta, but why don't you throw up Saginaw or represent where you're from too often?
Well, I mean, I've definitely done it in, you know, in a bunch of different tracks, and one of my most popular tracks from back in the day was a song with Tech and Twista called Why. And I had Twista himself actually shout out Saginaw. But I guess the reason why, man, is because to me, I don't think, you know, I don't see the relevance of where you're from, because I'm trying to speak to people everywhere. And my music isn't about where I'm from. You know,
yeah,
on a different level to me. So I guess that would be why. I mean, I love where I'm from, and if you're from Saginaw, you already know I do, you know,
The
Haunted Films there, and they're huge, and we give away free movies to everybody that comes, so I give back a lot to Saginaw, but I would rather give back with something substantial and really give back than just, you know, throwing the name out there or bragging, you know, especially in hip-hop, bro, you already know this, like, people love to brag about how bad their city is and how dangerous it is. And you're from Saginaw, so you already know we live in one of the most dangerous cities in America.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the FBI's website right now for, you know, the top three of some pretty heinous different things. And it's like, but I would rather not even brag about this. First of all, I don't brag about shit like that anyway, because that's nothing to brag about. I'm more about.
That's a very valid point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and,
yeah, I guess that would be why, if that makes any sense.
Okay. And recently at the Chesterfield show, this is another question. I met up with the rapper Madness. You know him?
Of course.
Yeah. Is there any potential you'll be working with him in the future again?
Well, a word that I never like to use, even though I just did, is the word never. So, you know, I don't like the final stamp on anything, bro. I think to me, I like to leave any door open, and you know, you never know.
Okay. And just one last thing, Mr. 989. Paranormal is my favorite album. You're my favorite Strange Music artist. I don't care what anybody says. I'm practically going to the big Something Else tour show just for you.
That's a huge honor, bro. Thank you.
All you guys are going to put on a great show. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to, you know, mosh and throw some elbows for you. But I felt Paranormal was great, and so is We All Fall Down. But the production on We All Fall Down was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, like, you know what, bro? I completely agree, man. I think the fact that me and Seven talked about each and every song in detail before the music was even started, I think was such an incredible advantage.
Yeah, have you been to the Best Buy in Flint, Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
I sat in the parking lot on Tuesday, listened to the whole CD, and after it was all over, I said, God damn, that was beautiful.
Yeah, bro, I know exactly what you're talking about, right on Miller Road.
It was, man, and I, you know, I'm trying to get into the rap business myself. You're kind of one of the guys I really look up to. Like, you just followed me on Twitter a few hours ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's you, all right.
Oh, man, but, yeah, I guess I'm going to let you get going now. That's all I have to say. Thank you for taking your time. I really appreciate it, sir.
No doubt, bro. Make sure you come holler at me, too, at that show, man. You know me. I'm always out in the crowd. You know where to find me. And I hope to talk to you in person, brother.
Hey, man. Always, always good to see you.
All right, you too, brother.
Keep it real, buddy. Keep prepping.
For sure.
Oh, whoops. My bad. I fucking cut off Dominic. But, dude, great caller, Dominic. Thank you for calling and asking all those questions. And stick around, because I know you heard you were saying you're trying to get into the business and whatever. I'm going to try and ask Prozac a few questions about that towards the end of the show. Let's get to Randy from Ohio. You're on the line with Prozac.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Randy?
Not much, Brandon. The new album is a masterpiece. It's awesome. Like, you far outdid any expectations I had of you. It's awesome, like. But
my question is,
you know, it has a very conscientious message about the world and all that, and you know, you being of Egyptian descent, has, like, you know, the upheaval in Egypt and whatnot had anything to do with the lyrics that are on the record?
No, I don't think it does, man. And it's kind of a weird way to compare these two things, but, like, you know, Dominic was the last, you know, the first caller, and he asked me about why I don't really shout out, you know, where I'm from in Saginaw, and, you know, what I said to him was, like, I don't feel like where I'm from should influence that. Now, I wasn't born in Egypt, you know, I was born in the United States as an American, but really and truly, I don't let, you know, any of my background influence, you know, my thoughts or my writing or anything. I think, you know, Michigan as a whole, you know, just, you know, we have some of the most depressed cities. You know, the city I live is one of them. That's the highest in, you know, violent crime and unemployment and some other horrible things. And I think, you know, witnessing the firsthand damage of a collapsing economy and you know, these cities, you know, that where I'm from are all, you know, were huge in the automotive business. When GM started outsourcing everything in Japan and China, and all these people lost their jobs, we went from, you know, fairly high blue-collar, you know, affluent cities to just devastation and crime and all these other things. And so I would say that really just, you know, the state of what's happening is really much more of an influence to me than, you know, origin or nationality or anything like that. You know, you feel me?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And another question, what is Detrimental Inc.?
Say that one more time.
What is Detrimental Inc.? Someone gave me some shit a long time ago, said it has something to do with you, had Detrimental Inc. all over it. Does that have nothing to do with you?
I don't think it does. I really don't know what that is.
All right. Well, stay up. Good job on the record. I'm very thoroughly impressed with it, man. Thanks.
Well, that means a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Peace out.
All right, Randy.
I don't think Randy's supposed to know about Detrimental Inc. That's your secret society, is it not?
Yeah. I'm not. It sounds like the name of a tattoo shop, for real. I don't know what that is.
All right. Well, let's get to Carrie from Minneapolis. You're on the line with Prozac.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, I'm not much, but your name is making me think of one of my favorite Stephen King movies, and I was like, damn, I want to watch Carrie later.
Hell yeah. Shit, what you guys have been talking about makes my question seem pretty insignificant, but I'm wondering, what happened to Nobody's Fool?
That's a great question. Super related to this day of album discussion, so I'll explain that to you. I got some tracks from Plex and Gianni Cash of Mayday. They work together and they make beats. And I picked up, you know, 7 or 8 of them. And one of those tracks happened to be Nobody's Fool. But after recording that track, the album took a different direction, and me and Seven had talked at length and decided to, build the whole album from scratch and do everything specifically and only creating music for these songs custom. And once that direction came about, that's how we did the whole record. So that being said, this music that I did get from Plex and Gianni will ultimately make up an EP. So it's more cohesive and it's all of the same production from those guys. And Nobody's Fool will be on that project.
All right. I am looking forward to that.
A lot of people have asked about that. So apparently people were really feeling that. And I'm really happy about that. So I look forward to, you know, when that track hits out.
I'm really looking forward to it. It started out really good.
That's what's up. Well, I hope you like the rest of it.
I really love this album, and I hope I do like the rest of it. I'm sure I will.
For sure.
Thank you very much.
For sure, Kay.
All right. Oh, shit. Why do I... I'm sorry. I keep cutting off your fans. To all the Prozac fans, I'm sorry.
Dude, how could you cut off Carrie? Have you ever seen the movie Carrie? She's going to fuck you up, bro. She's going to give you that million-mile stare, and then, like, you're going to catch on fire, and then all is strange, like, the doors will lock, and nobody will get out.
Yeah, and then the fire
Except
hose.
For Travis, because Travis is fireproof and immortal.
No, he is, and that's why I do what he tells me to.
He would beat Chuck Norris's ass.
Yeah, he would. Trav's the only guy I think that could do that. So shout out to Trav for being able to beat up Chuck Norris, despite no martial arts training. Trav could take him on.
That's where you're wrong. He was a Shaolin monk for many years.
You know what?
Between that and the ink, what ink was it?
Detrimental.
Yeah, that's part of that secret society, man. You know too much, and I'm gonna pay you a visit after this. But let's carry on.
Okay, this might be my last podcast, but yes, let's carry on. We are on the line with Prozac. People, if you're out there listening, call 347-994-3066 Let's talk about the tour you're on right now, the Something Else tour.
But first of all, did you even notice that pun in there? There was a pun in there, bro. A pun. I said, let's carry on. The last caller was Carrie.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, yeah, you are.
I'm really hungover. I'm sorry. Let's go.
No, it's all good, but I'm just a person, and I can't catch on all the cleverness. Like,
you said, I'm just a person, Doc. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, and so I a lot of these things, they miss me. Fucking Yubi does that shit to me all the time, and I feel stupid because I never catch it, but you guys are just
clever.
He's
a weirdo.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Shout out to Yubi. Shout out to Gotti on the Something Else tour. You guys are on this fucking tour right now with Tech N9ne, Chris Calico, Mayday, Stevie Stone, Seth's crew, and yourself. And for everyone out there, go to strangevip.com, look up the tour dates. It's coming to a city near you. I think you guys are beginning your West Coast run right now. How is that tour going so far?
I want to say the tour is going extremely well, bro. These are, you know, all really good cats to tour with. The only problem with the people on this tour is that Burns' beard sometimes stares at me. And sorry, he was walking by. I just wanted to fuck with him. Like the Son of Sam, how the dog was always barking and he thought he was telling them to kill people. Burns' beard does that to me.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, but I mean, you know, it makes – I think his beard's talking to me and it's telling me to hurt people, but I won't. And I'm avoiding the evil that is his beard. And but other than that, they're great people to tour with, bro. I'm on a bus that's 12 fucking deep, and that would be the, you know, Team Stones, Mayday, Seth's crew, and me and my hype guy, and we all gel. And you know, it's hard to live on a bus with 12 people, for real. But oddly enough, this is the easiest it's ever been. It's just good times out here, bro. Like, we're all very oriented and doing our best every night, and we're all focused on, you know, what our responsibility is to the fans to put on the best show and stuff, and we're all handling this like professionals, if you will. So I think that's what makes, what makes this really great. Everyone's hungry out here to, you know, to get themselves out there and work super hard. It's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like, I mean, it's hard enough to do the 12 men on a bus thing, you know, regardless, but, you know, what is it like to be on a roster where there aren't many, like, huge, I mean, I don't know if there's really any huge assholes, you know.
Yeah.
As far as the artists, you know, no ego tripping.
No, dude, that's wonderful, bro, because if any, you know, anybody that knows me personally or has ever, you know, toured with me or whatever, they know I'll be the first person, you know, I don't give a fuck who anybody is. They can be a platinum recording artist. If they're an asshole and I'm around and I witness it, I'll be the first one to tell them, like, hey, man, you're a fucking dick, bro. Like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, because I'll do that. You know what I mean? Like, and I've done it. You know, I've never had to do that with anybody on a Strange roster, man, because, you know, people over at Strange just ain't like that. You know, we're humble people, and Travis runs, you know, an amazingly tight ship, and, you know, you couldn't be on Strange, bro, if you were a dick. You couldn't be on Strange if you didn't put the fans first, if you didn't work your ass off, if you weren't talented, and a billion other factors. Like, we are not a major label, and we are not superstars, but at the same time, it's almost like a one-percenter motorcycle club, bro. Like, you got to go through a lot to get in, you know. Make sense?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I can definitely attest to that. Not as an artist, but just by seeing everybody, they're actual human beings on this label, which is really fucking great.
We're not all human beings. Some of us are immortal, but go ahead.
That, and some people have beards that are evil and talk to people without talking. And let me
Illuminati.
Add, totally. I mean, no. I mean, whatever. tell me about this lineup, man. Tell me about the shows that you've seen. Seth, Mayday, Stevie, Chris, Tech, you know, how's everybody doing out there? How are the sets?
Okay, the sets are dope as hell. You know, Seth's crew will come out, you know, two straight-up hip-hop MCs, just straight raw throwing it down, you know, without the fireworks and tricks and this and that you see on, you know, fucking BET and all these other people. They just come out there, spit it raw and rugged, very talented dudes, a lot of energy, great, you know, great performers. I come out there, you know, I do what I do, speak from the heart, rage it out, mosh pits, you know, shake it up. Mayday comes out and you're talking, you know, guitars and drums and bongos and, you know, live music and two MCs spitting back and forth. It's got that Miami sound to it. At the same time, it's got a lot of other influence. It's just super unique. Stevie Stone comes out. He crushes it with ridiculous 808 bass blasting and super energy and, you know what I'm saying, just a great build. And then Tech N9ne comes out and devastates and explodes the earth with his style, comes to a close. All of us come out, sign stuff for people at the end, meet a bunch of people. It's fucking magical. It's over. It's depressing. And we get to do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. Never gets old. It's the best.
That's awesome. Tell me about your set. Have you been, you know, have the fans been responding to that so far?
I think it's one of the best tours ever, man. The, you know, a few years back, splitting the crowd up, getting the mosh pit started, it would be, you know, 15-20% of the people right there in the middle. That's grown and grown and grown to the point now where every night when I'm on stage, I literally pull out my phone and I record some footage of them and I upload it to Instagram and Facebook that night. Actually, Instagram straight from the stage, and then later on I throw it up on Facebook. And it's getting kind of wild to see 50% or more of the crowd engaging in the hardcore mosh pits and, you know, raging out to the music. And I think that's great, man, because to me, like, you know, people are always like, well, why do you have people mosh? And why do people mosh? I mean, why all the anger? Why all the hostility? And it's like, well, to me and to other people, especially people in the rock world, they understand this, but moshing isn't really about anger and rage and the desire to hurt another person. It's venting out, you know, frustrations and energy and in a different way. And, you know, there's camaraderie in the pit, people knocking each other down, helping each other back up. You know, there's a whole another world to that. And, you know, obviously a strange audience loves it, or you wouldn't get over half the crowd doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I like that I bring that, you know, that thing to Strange Music's shows.
Definitely. And speaking of that, I know, you know, we just did an interview about the moshing, which we put up on the blog, blog.therealprozac.com, where you talked about some crazy shit that you saw in one of your mosh pits. I want to encourage everyone to check that out and read about it. I think actually just threw it up on the Strange Music Facebook. Please read that interview. It ends with it very memorably. Let's just say that
it's
much.
It's a climactic story.
It is. Yeah. That, now there's a good pun. Now let me ask you. There we go. caught it this time. Are there any records from the new album or any old classics that you're pulling out for this set that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm doing tracks off of We All Fall Down, Paranormal, Tales from the Sick, and Project Headman. So, yeah, there's a little bit of everything.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So fans, the old ones and the new ones, they're going to love it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Now, anything you want to share about the tour? We're running out of time. We got about 10 minutes left, but to wrap up this part about the tour, anything you want to share with us about it before we take some callers?
Well, yeah, I definitely want to say this, man. Don't, you know, don't just overlook this tour and say, oh, you know, this and that, I'll hit up the next one, because it really and truly is one of the best tours with one of the best lineups. And you really won't know that or experience that unless you come to the show. And I've been on Strange Music tours for 10 years. I speak from experience. You know, this is a very potent, very dynamic show, very well done. And each and every set is packed with so much. And we're doing it consistently. And there's a lot of vibration and vibes on this tour that are great, you know what I'm saying? And all of us are feeling it. So are the people that are coming to the show. And this is one of the best tours I've been on, and that's real.
That is real, because I have interviewed you about other tours, and you didn't come out and say that. So for anyone out there listening, you heard it from him himself. Go to strangevip.com, find out where they're coming to a city near you, get your tickets, or get your VIP packages and do the meet and greet thing. Let's take a few more callers here. We got Mike from Colorado Springs. You're on the line with Prozac.
Hey, what's up, Hort?
What up, Hortfish?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm all fucking tatted up and smelling like Vegas, and I'm at the House of Blues in San Diego being stared at by employees, oddly, from saying weird things like Burns' beard is the son of Sam and other things that make no sense. But other than that, I'm good. How are you this fine afternoon?
I'm wonderful. Token on a bowl in lovely Colorado on a nice, sunny, cool day.
Well, that sounds
I have one
very
question
intriguing.
For you.
I'm down to answer
that. For you. Have you seen any horrors on tour?
I've seen horrors predominantly in the Colorado Springs and Denver area, but we should clarify to those out there wondering exactly what do you mean by horrors. Do you mean horrors or horrors? So go ahead and explain what a whore is.
Like whore, it's H-O-R to us. It means homie on the regular. It's like the universal meaning of whore. But it could also mean a lot of other things. It's universal. It could mean like high on reefer, drinking Hennessy on the rocks, fucking a hooker off in reach rounds, hoping she don't have herpes on the rectum. It's a huge old revolution.
Wow. You know, I'm too hungover to contemplate some of those things that you just said. But I do appreciate the definitions.
Cool. Well, that's cool. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, so, that's where we're at. Try not to flood it out there, and all you horrors will wash away into the ocean.
All right. Well,
wow,
anyways, have
like
a good day.
Trip.
That's all I wanted to ask. I'm pretty much too high for this call anyway, so.
All right, for sure, man.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Dude, that call just gave me an acid flashback, bro.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I'm not even going to lie. I just got, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll look at my phone while the people take callers, or while the artists talk to the callers, and maybe I shouldn't say that, because that might not be very professional, but I look down and I read this text, and then when I come back up, I hear a whole bunch of shit that I... That was crazy. Okay, let's get to...
Yeah, that's
real
crazy, bro. And I'm at the House of Blues, and I'm, like, backstage. And if you've never seen that, it's, like, the entire floor is, like, all these Persian rugs. And so is, like, the walls and the ceiling. And there's all these weird paintings everywhere. So I feel like I'm, like, in a genie bottle with demons surrounding me. And I'm hearing about herpes on the regular or whatever, all these things that were just said. And I'm not doing so well now.
I just want to say, Mike, from Colorado Springs, that was one of the more memorable calls that we've ever received on one of these podcasts. So whether that's good or bad, I just want to let you know that. And thank you for calling. Let's get to...
He left his mark.
He definitely left his mark. And I think that's another pun. I think we're on the third one by now. Let's get to Tanner.
We are, at least.
Let's get to Tanner from Las Vegas. You're on the line with Prozac.
Hey, well, first of all, Tanner, before you say anything, you're making me nervous that you're from Vegas, and I hope I didn't do anything fucked up last night. So, did I not?
Oh, man.
Thank God.
I was just wanted to ask, when you, like, make music or you, like, you know, you do whatever you want to do, whatever your dream is, like, how do you get people to take you seriously when they're not doing it?
Well, let me try to give you a simple answer to a complicated question. But pretty much, bro, how much do you believe in yourself? How much do you believe in what you're doing and what you're saying? That's going to dictate how people respond to you. I think your confidence and passion in what you do speaks loudest in that. And, of course, you know, at the same time, you got to do the best material you're capable of doing in addition to that. You know, grind as hard as you possibly can. But I guess, you know, above all, you know what I'm saying? It's really, you know, how you view yourself and how you're pushing your own self. You know, sincerity goes a long way.
Yeah, dude, I feel that.
For sure. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's the best way to do that. And if you're talking about, you know, on a more business level as far as, you know, how do I get my shit out there, and so on and so forth, bro, networking is key, bro. I mean, this world is all about relationships. Stuff like, you know, the internet and all this other shit has kind of killed personality and relationships. But at the end of the day, the world, politics, politicians, businesses, multi-million, billion-dollar attorneys, life itself is all run off relationships. That's never going to change. So get out there and start meeting people, bro. Come to shows, talk to tour managers, talk to whoever you can, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, show respect and be humble and at the same time let them know who you are and what you're trying to do and get in where you fit in and work your ass off. And that's the best advice I really could give you.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. Thank you, Tanner, from Vegas. And can I just add in, don't spam people. Get to know them first and have built a relationship before you onslaught them with how awesome you are. That's just my two cents for anyone out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You said Vegas, bro, you fucked me up. I was like, who is going to call and what are they going to say?
I know.
You gave me an anxiety attack. I'm mad at you.
And this is already really going. Okay, good. I was about to say.
You're the shit. Let me give you a shout out real quick because, bro, you're like one of the, you know, to me at Strange Music, bro, you do a lot, man. And for real, like, let me say thank you. Like, you keep people like me on track, and you know what I'm saying? You help put out all this content for all the strangers out there, man. And thank you.
Yeah, man, you're welcome, dude. And it's awesome to be able to do that for people who, like we said before, aren't assholes and who actually make some good shit. So it goes both ways, bro. And let's wrap this up. We got one more caller, and I know he's very excited to talk. Let's get to Justin from Kenosha. You're on the line with Prozac.
Oh, hell yes. I'm talking to Prozac right now.
What's up, brother?
Oh, man. I just got to start off by saying that me and my friend Chris, we're huge fans, man. We try to make it to every single one of your shows in Milwaukee. We caught you after the show once. We just went to see you, and I remember we even skipped to see Cottonmouth Kings. We saw you outside of the rave, and I don't know, man. It was just one of the greatest moments that memories I've ever had in my entire life.
Definitely. I'll never forget that, man.
Yeah. I'm here with my friend Chris right
now.
What's up, bro? I don't know if you remember us.
That was like what, August?
What was that?
So that was like what, last August?
Yeah. And
you guys coming to the show that we're doing in Milwaukee when we get there on something else tour?
Oh, I'm going. And I messaged you on Facebook about it too, and you actually replied, which usually musical artists that I look up to, you're definitely in my top three. You're probably one of my favorites. So, and I don't know, you seem to care the most about the fans out of anybody else that I've ever come across, and I really appreciate the respect that you show fans. I have a lot of respect for you as a musical artist.
Thank you, brother, dude. That means a hell of a lot, for real.
Well, I'm just happy to even be talking to you right now, but I got two questions for you. My first one is, before you did Project Deadman and everything, how did you get, even signed? I'm kind of curious about how Tech N9ne, he recognized you before you got signed to Strange.
Well, I'll give you the quick answer, but if you ever really want to know a lot more about it, I got a record out there called Tales from the Sick, and on the inside of that record, there's a free 90-minute DVD, and Tech and Travis, myself and Mike Clark, all explain how all of that went down in detail. But to break it down to you, I really took an interest in Tech N9ne, bro. I thought he was super fucking dope, talented, extremely refreshing and original. Heard the record Angelic, saw the artwork, was like, who the fuck is this and where the fuck is this guy from? This is crazy.
Right.
Absolute Power came out, and I thought it was even doper. The evolution of his flow, music, everything else.
Absolutely.
So I reached out to Strange, and I was like, I told Strange, like, yo, I want to help y'all get this shit out of my area because nobody knows who he is where I'm from. And it was Travis O'Glynn that I spoke to. And Travis was gangster shit, bro. I had, like, DHL truck showing up at my house like every couple weeks, dropping off boxes that were as big as my house for Tech Nine promo. And I had a huge street team of my own at the time, a lot of friends that were, you know, we were really well organized, and we were hitting 46 stores in a three-state region for my own shit. So I started having them take Tech Nine shit and putting it up with all of my stuff everywhere. Travis, you know, was impressed by that, you know, we were actually putting it out in stores and doing right by all this material that he was sending me. And about, I don't know, 8 months later, you know, I did a track with Beck. I coordinated that through Travis, and I wanted him on this record I was working on. And a while later, Travis said, "Hey, man, you know, what did you do with that song you did with Tech? Like, I never heard it or whatever." And I was like, "Oh, well, you know, it's just on this record. It's almost done, you know, that kind of thing." And he's like, "Well, are you ever going to send me some music or what?" And to be honest with you, it never even dawned on me. I wasn't doing it to try to get on Strange or anything. I was just doing it out of my own kindness that I thought Tech was a dope artist, and I just wanted to pitch in and help him out.
That's really cool of you, too, by the way.
My region or whatever. Yeah, I never asked for a dollar, you know, nothing. Just did it out of respect or whatever. And so I was like, all right, well, Travis legitimately said he wanted to hear something. So I sent him a package of 10, 12 tracks, I think. And he called me a couple of days later, and he's like, "Hey, man, I got your package, and I listened to the record." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. What did you think?" And he said, "Can you be here Monday?" And I said, "Where?" And he said, "L.A. And this was a Friday. And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, like, you know, y'all need my help on something, or, you know, what you got, you know, what you want me to do?" He's like, "No, I need you and the other guy, Mike Clark, I need you guys out here to sign this record deal with Strange Music on Monday."
Oh, that must have been amazing to hear. That guy was probably, like, one of the best things you've heard.
It caught me off guard, to say the least. I never anticipated any of that to ever happen. And I called up Mike Clark after that, and we jumped on a plane, went to Los Angeles, signed a record deal with Strange Music, and, you know.
That must have been raw.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, bro. I don't know what to say about it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad that it happened.
Right.
And, I guess that's what's up.
All right. And okay, my other question is, what one song that you've made do you think that you put the most emotional effort into? Like, do you feel that it's closest, that the deepest song? If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Until Then.
I'm sorry?
The song is Until Then off Paranormal.
I still can't hear you. What song was it off of Paranormal?
I'm sorry. It's Until Then.
That's my favorite song by you. I was actually just listening to it before I started.
I'll actually want to. Can you guys hear me good right now, still, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say this real quick. This is something I've never actually ever said to anybody ever actually, but the song was a certain vibe that I was feeling at one point in time, and unfortunately, I felt the way that those lyrics speak. You know, the really sad reality of that song, after I wrote it, I felt like I got that out of me. And that's one thing about being an artist that's a benefit, is sometimes when you're in a really bad place, you can kind of get all that out of you through your writing, and you feel better afterward. But shortly after I wrote that song, my brother passed away, very, very much similar to the lyrics of those songs. I'm sorry, to that song itself. And so I had a really hard time after that, watching that video and listening to that song. And, so that's definitely the most, to answer your question, that's definitely the track. And sometimes I actually can't listen to it, you know, anymore since.
I never even knew that it had that much emotional backing to it. And it's always been my favorite song, because I've had a lot of family members, like, they've passed, you know, and I've had a family member pass from something similar to that, too, and I understand what you're going through, and I know that it isn't easy.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. But, yeah, that would definitely be the song, brother.
All right, well, then I just got one last question. I know I only said I got two, but then I got one last one.
Sure.
All right, so I saw on Strange Music Store that you had a sweater that had a pterodactyl on it, right? Well,
yeah.
I can make a perfect pterodactyl sound, and I don't think anybody else in the entire world can do this, the sound that I can do. And I was just wondering if you wanted to hear it.
I'm completely down to hear that.
All right. Just to let you know, it's very loud and obnoxious.
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
That's a pretty good pterodactyl.
I was just wondering if what you were going to think about that. I'm really
the
happy
only,
that
you... The only thing that would be more fucked up than what you just did is if I actually did one back to you.
If you did that, I would probably piss my pants. I can't believe that just happened right now.
That was purely for Jeff's enjoyment, by the way. For Jeff to say, when Prozac gets on the phone, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And you know what? That's because that's how we roll.
You have no idea how happy I am.
For real?
That just made my day.
That's what's up, bro. I will see you in Milwaukee. Dahmer,
you'll see me making that noise, I'll tell you that.
I'll do that shit on the stage, bro.
Alright, I hope I see you at the show too, because that was a fun time. Even had a small conversation with you.
Alright, for
and
sure.
Even talking over the phone was an honor.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. Yeah, I got meet and greet popping up here in a minute. I see all the strangers rolling in. I see the markers in hand. I know what time it is.
Alright, yeah. Actually, we got to wrap this up. Prozac's got a meet and greet. Prozac, before you go, I know you got to go right away. Just want to say thank you for coming on the air from us, from the fans, from everybody. Great record. Have a good show tonight.
For sure, man. And fuck, I love all you guys, damn it.
All right. Well, I love you too, darn it. So, all right.
Darn it.
Gosh darn it. All right, well, that was Prozac. There you have it, folks, whose album We All Fall Down is available at Best Buy for $9.99 and on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. It's everywhere online. Make sure you go cop that. And if you cop it from Best Buy, make sure you send a picture of you with the album and your receipt to fans at StrangeMusic.com. We definitely want to see that. And make sure you check out StrangeVIP.com for the Something Else tour. It is coming to a city near you, and that has Prozac, Mayday, Chris Calico, Tech N9ne, Stevie Stone, and Cess Crew. But, you know, without further ado, thank you to everyone that is called. Make sure you go cop the album, and until next time, keep it strange.
Strange Music.